Earth and Sky.
Chemistry, you know, really has a unique role in helping society address some of the important issues, whether it's ways to generate energy, to store energy, and certainly to make new plastics that not only make our lives better, but they don't impact our environment.
You're listening to Jeffrey Coates, a chemist at Cornell University, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Coates is making plastics chemically engineered to biodegrade in the environment. These greener plastics are based on carbon dioxide, a widely available renewable resource. He said they have the potential to cost even less than today's plastics based on fossil fuels. Jeffrey Coates spoke with Earth Sky's Lindsay Patterson.
Dr. Coates, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Thank you.
So we use plastics for everything, but there's an increasing awareness and concern about the environmental impacts. So what happens to plastics after we're done using them?
So according to the EPA, about 6% of our plastics are recycled. Unfortunately, most of the rest of them end up in landfills, or even worse yet, they're scattered, in the environment.
And so why don't we just stop using these common plastics like plastic bags and plastic water bottles altogether?
I mean, I think most people would acknowledge that plastics they're really essential. They make our cars lighter, so they're more fuel efficient. They help us keep our food safe through food packaging. Obviously they're vital in a lot of safety applications. If you can, imagine a bicycle helmet made out of metal or an automobile airbag, I don't know what you would make it out of if you didn't make it out of plastic. To me, it'd be really hard to imagine a day without plastics.
So how is plastic made now, and what could be a more sustainable way to make the same material?
So current plastics are made from fossil fuel, typically either petroleum, so oil, or natural gas. And given that we've got a very limited supply of fossil fuel, there's a lot of interest in trying to get away from oil as a way to make plastics.
What are your top priorities in designing a sustainable plastic?
One of the first is to try to get away from a limited feedstock such as fossil fuel to make the plastic, and try to make it from what we'll call a renewable feedstock. So, for example, if you can use molecules like carbon monoxide or carbon dioxide, two readily available carbon-based building blocks, that's a great way to develop a feedstock for making a plastic. A second priority is to make a new plastic that breaks down over a non-geological timescale. It's very important that it would break down to non-toxic compounds like carbon dioxide and water, which is what wood breaks down to in the environment. A third thing is that ideally we would like to make, using this renewable resource, we'd like to make a plastic that currently exists because people know how to use these plastics really well. If we're going to make a new-to-the-world plastic, we want to make sure that it has improved properties or similar properties to other plastics. And then finally, most consumers are not willing to pay a lot more for a new biodegradable or sustainable plastic. So it's important that these materials are on the same cost scale as other common plastics.
And where are you getting the carbon dioxide and carbon monoxide?
The carbon dioxide and carbon monoxide can come from a range of sources. It can come from, for example, carbon dioxide is a byproduct of fermentation. It's a byproduct of power generation. Carbon monoxide can similarly be derived from coal, from biomass. It's virtually unlimited.
Carbon dioxide is a gas, so how does it become a solid material like plastic?
Carbon dioxide is mixed with other chemicals, and they're hooked together to make these large molecular chains that we know as plastics. And to make that happen, there's a magical agent called a catalyst, and that hooks together the carbon dioxide with these other molecules to make the plastic.
And what exactly is a catalyst?
So a catalyst is a special type of chemical that a very small amount allows these molecules to hook together and make plastics. So it's an agent of change.
And so what was the process in the lab? I mean, what were the biggest challenges that you had?
We have to develop these so-called catalysts, and catalyst development can be a very long and empirical process where we try many different things. Once we find something that works, it's kind of like if you go prospecting for gold. Once you find that vein of gold, then you can, you know, you dig around in that area for more of it. And so once we find a catalyst that does anything close to what we want, we go back and make very small changes to these catalysts to try to make them better, try to make them more active so we can use less of the catalyst.
What kinds of plastic will this make? Like, what kinds of applications are you imagining? Can these be the plastic bags and plastic water bottle replacements?
Yeah, so these plastics have a very diverse range of properties. One of the big applications of these materials is to make food packaging. They keep oxygen out of your food, so food often spoils. So, for example, hamburger turns brown if it's exposed to oxygen. Beer tastes skunked if it's exposed to oxygen. And so one of the really special properties of some of our plastics is they don't let the oxygen approach the food. It keeps has a very high barrier.
And would we just be able to throw them out as normal?
So, you know, back to the very beginning, the recycling is important. And right now we don't recycle that much. If you put these in the landfill, it's important that people realize that, I mean, nothing biodegrades in the landfill. There's very little water or oxygen. Where these plastics are, in my opinion, special are, you know, in the occasion that you accidentally, you know, leave them in the environment. So if they won't sit there for hundreds of years, they'll biodegrade, you know, and go back to carbon dioxide and water.
So what do you want the public to know about your work?
Chemistry, you know, really has a unique role in helping society address some of the important issues, whether it's ways to generate energy, to store energy, to make the drugs that protect us from new strains of flu, and certainly to make new plastics that not only make our lives better, but they don't impact our environment. We're excited that this work is being pursued industrially by a startup company called Novomer, and they've already launched one product and have several products in the works that will be available to society in the very near future.
You've been listening to Jeffrey Coates, professor of chemistry at Cornell University. Our thanks today to the Camille and Henry Dreyfus Foundation. To subscribe to this and other free science podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Jorge Salazar. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.